This segment of the program on Sunday Morning Live, we have with us Beth Quill, who is the executive director of the Children's Defense Fund Texas. Correct. Okay, good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
A little bit close to the microphone there. All right.
Yeah, we've had so many calls and emails and just inquiries about three big issues over the last couple of weeks, and of course one of them has been the issue of gun control. A lot of folks were disappointed that the bill that's proposed did not pass. It didn't make cloture. Yeah. Okay, didn't get the 60 votes necessary to move to the next phase. So we thought we'd come and have you on the program to talk a little bit about keeping our campuses safe, number one, and of course the issues of just what the organization is doing in general, and to talk about the state of America's children. Now, you're the Children's Defense Fund's founder, Miriam Wright Edelman. She does a regular commentary, and recently I came across a piece she wrote on the right and wrong answers on school safety. You're probably familiar with that. Can you take the test? But again, I thought very interesting. You would like to talk about that piece, or you want me to just share this information
with
them?
You want to share that, okay. I have some comments.
Yeah, there's a multiple choice quiz. Folks, I want you to take this quiz, too, and I want you to give us a call, 713-390-5102. Which of the following should be part of a model school safety program? That's the question. It's got several parts. I'm not sure if I'm going to read all three, but they're pretty short. A, proven evidence-based models for school violence reduction that focus on preventing misbehavior and violence by promoting a healthy, positive school climate. That's A. B. Threat assessment. Emphasis on positive behavioral interventions, social and emotional learning, nonviolent conflict resolution, and community engagement, including parents, students, educators, and faith and civic leaders. C. Trained mental health professionals, social workers and psychologists, and school counselors to identify problems early and support students and educators. D. Keeping school doors locked after the start of the school day, creating a space where children are safe to learn and teachers are safe to teach. E. Putting armed guards and more guns in every school in America. F. Arming teachers and principals. Or G, putting law enforcement in charge of school safety and school discipline. Now, if you answered E, F, and G, you should give yourself a failing grade. Okay? That's the point. So despite the loud voice of the NRA, and again, we're not just picking on the NRA, but that's who is driving the train, the scholars, the experts on school safety, and teachers overwhelmingly disagree with turning schools into armed camps rather than places of nonviolent positive learning. School safety is a non-negotiable priority. So tell us about your school safety agenda, and what can we do as listeners? What can the public do? What can the parents do to help our schools to become safer?
Well, thank you for having me on and having an opportunity to talk about this. As you indicated, Mrs. Edelman has been very outspoken, as has Children's Defense Fund, in advocating for school safety, but also community safety. No surprise, children are our top priority. Our mission is about giving kids a head start, a healthy start, a safe start, a moral start. So in that context, we are extremely concerned about the crisis of our children being killed and injured.
Yeah.
And we forwarded, I know, a lot of statistics, but I'd like to share with you perhaps three that put the child gun violence issue in context. And for me, these simply keep us reminded of the importance of keeping children front and center, which is our job to do. And that is one child or teen dies or is injured every 30 minutes in this country.
One child or teen dies every 30 minutes.
Or was injured. We have both those who are killed and both those who are injured.
That is amazing. So someone in the last 30 minutes was injured or died. That is tragic.
So the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm in here, and by the time I leave, additional children will be killed or injured.
These are our
children.
So
that statistic for me, when we do the discussion of gun control and gun safety, putting children first, that keeps it for me very close to the heart. Mm. So I share that with you because it's a quick and easy one to remember. We have for 12 years published a report, and you have one there, Protect Children, Not Guns. So this is not a new issue for us. It is about keeping our children safe from violence. The second statistic that I often cite is really related to the fact that children do not engage in war, but they are the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And so between 1979 and 2010, there were more child and teen deaths than in the wars of Afghanistan, Iraq, Vietnam War, and Korean War.
Mm.
So we have a mini war against our children.
And is that number just here in America alone?
That number is here in America, yes. And if you look internationally, which is even more stunning, and you compare industrialized countries, 87% of those killed, teens, are killed in the United States. So the homicide rate is higher than those other countries by actually 42%.
That's
so
mind-blowing.
We're missing the mark. We're clearly unbalanced, and our priorities in terms of children are somewhat misguided. So that's the context, and those are the statistics that I wanted to put out front. Just to set the stage that my job as a person advocating for children is to make sure that the public understands that we as a society understand that our behavior is contributing to bad outcomes for children.
Yeah. And I'm talking to, as listeners, I mean, you have children in schools, you have children in the neighborhood. Obviously, you are concerned about their safety, or have we just become so used to the dangers that we don't even think anything about it? We just accept it as the norm. Is that the situation, or do you really have concerns, or are you really interested in getting involved? Are you really interested in knowing what you can do? We'd like to hear from you at 713-390-5102. Those points I shared, what are ways that we can make schools safer?
I think one of the important things to remember is we're adults. We have a responsibility and a job to protect our children. And so when we think about things we as citizens can do, number one, we can vote.
Oh, yes.
And we have made clear our preferences about background checks, about child safety, et cetera. And secondly, you raised the point about, are we not seeing what violence there is in the community that might be impacting our children? And so I would ask both to our listeners and all of us as adults, why is it that our children are existing in communities where violence has a direct impact on them? So we have some responsibility for individually and collectively putting children first.
Mm-hmm.
So your point about, you can tell I get very animated and passionate about my subject, but your comment about school safety. Clearly there have been recommendations which we do not support or cannot find evidence for that, you know, arming teachers or maintaining law enforcement presence on campus results in any better outcomes. Many of the circumstances where there have been mass and group killings of children in school settings have actually been on campuses where there have been law enforcement present.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to think beyond an immediate kind of solution. Schools need to be sacred places, number one. Number two, it is a place of learning. Number three, there are a variety of things that have been suggested that never seem to get much traction.
Mm-hmm.
But I will offer the following, and just to provoke our listeners a little bit. We have seat belts. We have car seats for babies from the moment they leave the hospital. You can't leave with your child unless you have one.
Didn't know that.
We have, supposed to.
It's a good rule.
Yes. And there are sanctions. You could get ticketed, yes. Et cetera. We have childproof lids on dangerous substances. We have child locks for our homes to protect children from getting into substances which would cause them injury. And yet a third of the families with children have guns in their home. Mm. And acknowledge that only 40% of them have guns in any unprotected, locked, out of the way for children.
Yeah, we hear stories every week on the news about a child getting a hold of a gun and injuring another child, or even themselves, for that
Correct.
Matter.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And so from that point of view, your question about are there things we can do, that seems pretty simple. Making guns safe. They're going to be around. They're designed for two purposes, for sport and war, clearly, and defense.
War was first.
Yeah, but but clearly they're not being used for that currently.
Right.
So we need to exercise some kind of restraint. And the proposal for gun safety mechanisms on guns is clearly a straightforward one that, in the interest of children, would make what existing guns they came in contact with not dangerous to them.
Okay, let's go to the telephone. We've got Kenneth on line one. Good morning. You're on the Sunday Morning Live with Beth Quill of the Children's Defense Fund. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for our guest?
No, I had a couple of comments on just in general on children.
Are you calling from the jail downtown?
No,
we hear the alarms in the back, so it was just interesting.
No, that's our Houston Sinus, the paramedics.
Oh, okay.
That's part of Houston Sinus, they're doing their job.
Okay. <All right. laughs>
That's the ambulance. But, I just had a couple of comments. I kind of just came in on the tail end of it, so I just kind of heard a couple of comments. I'm not for sure exactly what's going on, but I just heard it say something about children and gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of comments I have is that, first of all, you can't have a one-stop-fits-all about children and gun safety, and you can't point the finger at this person, that person. It's everybody, A to Z. The church, the school, the community, the parents, it's everybody's responsibility. And until the community comes and unites and get on the forefront and go to the lawmakers, to the schools, to everybody, to let them know that everybody needs to stiffen up and stop putting the blame on everybody else, until that's done, we're going to forever be having these severe problems with children and gun safety and all these unnecessary accidents and deaths.
Wow. You must work in the school system.
No, I'm a student of life, and I had some good teaching.
All right. Well, hey, we really appreciate you sharing your good teaching with us this morning, okay?
That's a great comment, sir, and I certainly agree with you. It's not about the blame. It's the let's fix it.
Thank you, Candace. Yeah, it's just amazing. Here's a number here. Let's see. Close to 90% of Americans and 74% of NRA members want universal background checks. That's amazing that we didn't get that done. Yeah, that by itself is just so amazing. Why wouldn't you do that?
And I was going to ask, since you had the situation with the Senate, and I know we saw a lot on television of the Newtown parents making their way to the various Senate offices to talk to the senators prior to the votes. Why is it that we weren't seeing all of this information that you provided us with today from the Children's Defense Fund in the media? I'm assuming that you all were working hand in hand with the Newtown parents and with the coalitions that were trying to get these background checks passed through the Senate, but we're not hearing that information.
That's an interesting comment. We have been very out front with disseminating a lot of this and sending out alerts in Texas. It's very interesting that it's resonating in terms of the tragedy. It is not resonating highly with the general public about how to fix it. Unless there's a particular constituency, as the listener pointed to, that's very invested in what the solution looks like. And quite frankly, if you look at the statistics, as you've noted, it's not about one part. It's not about one solution. It is about all of us stepping to the plate and saying it. Whatever happens, it's unacceptable for our children to be killed. So what can we do to change that? So I think there was a lot of information out there. I think the tragedy of the moment, statistics didn't really resonate. Human faces did, and I think that's why I'm so proud of those families in Newtown who went to Congress, who were before the media telling their story. And as you know, many have commented that at the peak, there's a lot of interest, a lot of shock, a lot of dismay. But the further you get from the tragedy, the less likely the action is. And people commented at the time and said, and Mrs. Edelman clearly said, let us not forget. You know, this, the minute we forget, we will do what we did before.
Yeah. They do what comes natural, what we're most comfortable with.
Correct.
Give us some information on the Children's Defense Fund. How can folks get more information, maybe make a donation, or get involved with some of the work you do?
It's very easy to talk about the Children's Defense Fund. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Children's Defense Fund has been around 40 years. It's our 40th anniversary and our 15th year anniversary next year in Texas. I shared with you a little bit about our mission, which is entirely being advocates for kids from birth through 18 and try to make the world a better place. We have three offices here in Texas, one in the Rio Grande Valley in McAllen, one in Austin, which is our policy locus, and a core office here in Houston. Part of our work is largely devoted to health, so many folks know us predominantly for our health work here in Texas. We have many things with children we need to fix.
Yes.
We can't fix them all, but we are very committed, and about 60% of our work currently is devoted to getting kids health insurance.
Okay.
We want kids healthy. We want them seeing the doctor. We want their families engaged, and we want a healthier generation of future Texans. The other program which I'll share with you is the CDF Freedom Schools, which is an after-school program, which if anyone is interested in coming out and observing, it is literacy-based. It is helping kids not lose their academic skills as they play during the summertime, and also making learning fun for them so that kids who have had difficulty in the school system have an opportunity to achieve and shine. So
that sounds great.
We'd love to hear from folks. We have a newsletter.
What's the website?
The website is www.childrensdefense.org is our master. And
okay.
Our phone number at CDF Texas is 713-664-4080. You may ask for me personally if you want. Beth Quill, if I can't help you, my staff that I work with is very strong, and in many ways they are just much sharper than I.
Okay.
And we'll make every attempt to help you. But we are working on behalf of Texas children. We're concerned about many issues that impact them, and we welcome your comments and feedback.
Alrighty. Beth Quill, Executive Director of Children's Defense Fund Texas, thank you so much for being a part of the program.
A pleasure.
And folks, be sure you give them a call at the phone number and, of course, their website, childrensdefensefund.org.